Trend number one, the trust crisis. As measured by the 10th annual Edelman Trust Barometer, trust in businesses plummeted worldwide to a 10-year low at the end of last year. Some 62% of informed adults aged 25 to 64 reported that they trusted businesses less than they had a year earlier. And notably, respondents in the United States and Western Europe were more suspicious than those in emerging economies. In the U.S., 77% became more distrustful. More recently, the Harvard Business Review surveyed its readers about the level of trust they have in businesses. Even among this knowledgeable and elite group of executives and academics, 3/4 of the respondents indicated that they felt less overall trust in the senior management of American companies. Almost half had less trust in consultants. Roughly 1/5 reported lower levels of trust in academic institutions, suppliers, and customers, and 10% were even suspicious of their own colleagues. It seems that we've lost our confidence in a broad range of economic institutions, from investment banks to central banks, and from economic advisors to the governmental institutions which we expected to protect us from catastrophic losses. Among the hardest-hit targets of that newly acquired mistrust are MBAs and the business schools from which they graduate. As Dean Joel Podalny wrote in the Harvard Business Review, "I'm angry about the inattention to ethics and values-based leadership in business schools." Podalny, a sociologist, was a professor at the Director of Research at Harvard Business School. Later, he became dean of the Yale School of Management. Specifically, Podalny was concerned about what business schools didn't teach. The study of economics and business administration have always relied on quantitative methods, statistics, and in more recent times, computer models. Business school professors have largely ignored what is qualitative in business, and especially those areas that touch on ethics and values. This has had a profound effect. A Harvard professor surveyed MBA students and found that their definition of right and wrong was simply whatever happened to be the norm. In other words, they thought it was acceptable to do whatever the crowd was doing. But trust has eroded across the board, and that fact is changing the way we view business. Previously, the only important measure of a business was how much wealth it created for shareholders. But more recently, it has come to seem like a quaintly 19th century view. Today, people want to know that an organization is sustainable in numerous ways, certainly economically, but also ethically and socially. What does the company give back to society, besides money to its investors? People talk more and more about the concept of transparency, meaning that they don't just want a check from a global food conglomerate, they want to know how the sausage is made too. Transparency today often means nothing more than compliance with the laws of disclosure. That's why a recent article in the Harvard Business Review called for a new culture of candor. In the article, Warren Bennis and James O'Toole describe how building such a culture not only makes a company more ethically sound, but also increases its abilities to innovate and to be productive. Achieving true transparency will go a long way toward repairing the lost trust that is so widespread. Bennis and O'Toole have proposed a program for restoring trust and creating an organization in which the free flow of information can improve morale, ethics, and productivity. Here are the 8 points in that program. First, tell the truth. In survey after survey, employees and managers say that the primary characteristic they want to see in leaders is trustworthiness. They want leaders to speak their minds and be predictable. They don't want decisions to seem arbitrary, and they want to know that the rules are the same from day to day. When they have that kind of trustworthiness, followers go the extra mile, are loyal, and are willing to take risks to achieve important goals. Second, give people permission to tell their bosses bad news as well as good news. Good leaders are grateful to those who tell them what's going wrong as well as what's going right. In this sense, the leader must trust the follower before he can expect a reciprocal trust to evolve. This takes a good listener and a bold speaker. Unfortunately, most leaders expect a kind of blind loyalty that does little to enhance trust. Third, reward people who challenge conventional assumptions. Robert Galvin, who was CEO at Motorola in the 1980s, created a culture in which people were not rewarded for worshiping the status quo. They were able to get ahead in the company by aggressively challenging management, right up to Galvin himself. During that time, Motorola achieved dominance over Texas Instruments through that culture of candor. When the culture started to evaporate, the company's performance began to decline. Fourth, practice handing out bad news. most people feel uncomfortable when they have to deal with negative feedback, whether giving it or receiving it. This sometimes results in higher-ups not being frank when delivering assessments, and likewise, it often means subordinates don't tell their bosses what's going wrong. By practicing doing this with less important matters, leaders and followers alike can prepare themselves for those times when something really important comes up. Fifth, get information from a variety of sources. There is a tendency to use well-worn paths of information and communication. Leaders also become isolated within their favored in-groups. This means that executives need to actively seek new sources of information by regularly talking to employees, journalists, stakeholders, regulators, and especially those who criticize the organization. Sixth, admit mistakes promptly. One of the best things any leader can do to engender trust in others is to quickly own up to blunders. It's disarming, it's human, and it sets the example for others to do the same and not push important matters under the rug. Seventh, build a culture of candor. There are many ways to encourage people to tell the truth openly. Choosing a leader who will get behind this is essential. Then, open-door policies and protection for whistleblowers can enhance the process. Having a good board of directors is a good place to start in the rigorous pursuit of honesty and building trust. And eighth, let the information flow where it will. Executives naturally tend to hoard information. But widely sharing information is not only the most effective way of doing business, it's the only way of rebuilding the trust that has been lost. Encourage and reward open debate and even dissent. This requires a continuous effort. What's the likely fallout of the trust crisis? We offer the following five forecasts for your consideration. First, trust will make its fastest recovery in areas like the stock market. The stock market has already shown signs that people are not as gun-shy as they had been right after the financial panic. Since this is a highly regulated area, it benefits from the fact that people are more willing to trust institutions than persons. However, investors will remain cautious when it comes to putting all their eggs in one basket. Expect the market to recover not by leaps and bounds, but in spurts as trust returns. Long term, this will result in a more stable market. Second, trust will not return quickly in areas where the deal seems to be too good to be true. Too many people were publicly fleeced in too many ways for that kind of naive trust to return anytime soon. Investment schemes or corporations that offer people never-fail, always high returns will not be able to make much headway against a newly cautious population of investors. Third, trust in the housing market will also take a generation to rebuild. The housing bubble was made possible by an irrational belief that housing prices only go up. As housing recovers, people will be much more prudent when considering how much to borrow, and when, if ever, it is wise to take equity out of the value of a home. Consequently, the housing market of the coming decade will look much more like that of a generation ago. Fourth, business schools will work hard to remedy their loss of trust. They will strive to go beyond the knee-jerk ethics courses and begin teaching future MBAs moral values. They will also let the public know that they are doing this. Don't be surprised to see the most famous business schools buying ad space to promote the idea that they and their graduates are trustworthy. And fifth, CEOs and their corporations will follow a path similar to the business schools, letting the public look inside their workings much more than in the past. Being highly secretive may protect proprietary information, but giving the public a meaningful view of how things are done will be essential to rebuilding trust in the individual stock, in the industry, and in the economy at large. The more corporations demonstrate trustworthiness, the faster the economy will return to normal, because people will then feel comfortable taking risks and making commitments.